grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Giacomo Fino Anane, Giacomo Finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And guess what?
It's another episode of Las Culturistas. My name is Matt Rogers.
My name is Bowen Ying. I could not have guessed that it was going to be another episode.
Well, you know what? Let's, voila, here it is, another episode. We just took the
veil.
We took the veil off that secret, and here we are talking to you. Oh, boy. And so much culture to discuss, I guess, right?
Yeah.
What dark times?
No, but listen, I want this to be a positive place.
You're right.
I want, I want to say we're leaving the dark stuff at the door.
We could say that, though.
But I also want this, more and more now I'm realizing, not as a privilege thing, but like, you know, we can choose our moments of...
I agree.
Of blocking stuff out, only to go back in and engage and be excited again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We can't turn away the sunshine.
No.
When there's sunshine in the world, you have to say that sunshine. And we have a ray of sunlight with us today.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Let's go through the credits, honey.
I mean, you know her from the, let's say it,
legendary UCB weekend team,
Grandma's Ashes. And of course, one of the stars, I would say.
Mm.
One of the true
anchors
of ASCAT 3000.
Oh my goodness. And
which is the show at UCB? It's the show.
It's the show. It's the show that I would.
It's the legendary show.
I lined up at fucking 4 p.m. on a Sunday.
As college students, it's
as
like a
students.
Rite of passage.
Absolutely.
You must sit out in front of UCB.
Even if you're
ASCAT 3000.
Yeah, even if you're a student at, you know, in the Maldives, you fly over to New York in college, you wait in line at ASCAT, and she is the host of one of my favorite podcasts, OAT, of all time,
yeah.
Make Yourself Comfy with Abra Tabak.
You've seen her on Broad City and 30 Rock.
Yes, girl.
Come on.
Please welcome Abra Tabak.
Oh, my God.
We can't even believe.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Oh my God,
and
Abra.
Also, that was the most, like, wonderful introduction. I was trying so hard not to breathe or smile into the microphone. I was kept going.
You were, like, suffocating yourself
yes.
there for a second.
Honestly,
oh, my God. Abra,
when you got
so
good credits.
You. Yeah.
You got good credits. When the credits are golden, honey.
Oh, my God.
Abra,
how are you?
Oh, my gosh. I could not be more excited about anything in the world than being here.
We live, and also, it's like, it's so funny because when you get someone that you've truly looked up to for so long,
yes.
like, we love you. Oh my God.
We love you. Abra was my Improv 101 teacher at UCB. And
I can't believe.
The moment she stepped through the door and welcomed us, I was like, oh my
Queen.
God. Queen.
Yeah.
And I had seen
crying.
Her before. No, stop it. This is real.
Oh.
I felt that way when I took a Chelsea Clark class.
Uh-huh.
No,
I never,
don't talk about her.
You're right. You're right. This is not about her. I felt this. I took a Chelsea Clark class for when I was an advanced student.
Yes.
And I was still like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, it's Chelsea.
But and that stays with you. Even when I see Chelsea today, God. I think.
When I see her today, God.
Dear God.
Please let me see Chelsea. Please. Honestly, she is amazing.
Yes.
I think I saw all of you guys do Shannon and Tammy Have Friends together. No.
Oh my God,
I
Matt.
Have tell Shannon through the podcast she hasn't asked me to do it.
What? I am positive
Matt,
that I saw
it
you.
It wasn't me.
Oh my God.
Don't
who?
Worry, because I want to be considered one of
Shannon and Tannen.
They're two little fish and they swim in the sea. I don't.
I could have sworn it was you.
What a faux pas.
It wasn't. No, I mean, I'm just going to say that I would love to do the show, yeah. Shanny Tammy. But I have done a bunch of shows with Chelsea. And
yeah.
She's just.
Oh my gosh.
The best.
One of the best.
Hey, this is a little too Chelsea Clark focused for my.
I know.
Wow.
I,
okay. Sorry, Chelsea.
Sorry, Chelsea.
Bye, Chelsea.
But no,
sorry,
it's Chelsea. True. Like, sometimes, like, especially when. Because we went to NYU, so we were going to shows, like,
on
in
reg.
College, like, on the reg. Like, they're like, ooh, what's comedy in New York? And, like, you do. It's so insane to, like, talk to people now, and you're like, oh, God, yeah, for sure. And you're like, ah, and they turn the corner, and you're like, oh, my God.
Right. You know what? We're still starstruck, baby.
Starstruck.
Wait, how did you two meet?
We met in college.
This
it's
is
so
a,
funny.
This is a good story.
Okay, great.
It's hard to pinpoint where it starts. I do remember the moment I saw.
I know exactly when.
No, okay, but there. This. I have a different origin point.
Okay.
So this is it. I had a friend. In the pre-med program with me, named Mung Bielefeld.
Yes.
Oh, she he's was my doctor.
He is. And he's a she, and
she was.
And she's your doctor.
And this was back when I sort of retreated back into the closet and thought I liked girls again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this girl is beautiful. Wow. I think I'm in love with her. And then she lived in this dorm on 14th Street. And on her floor was a boy named Matt Rogers. And then this is back when you can record videos on people's walls. He recorded a video on her wall where he goes, "Hey, Mung, here's a little," and Matt's completely shirtless. He goes, "Hey, Mung, here's a naked video for you."
No, I didn't do this.
And I go, "Who is this person? Why are they coming after the love of my life?" This is so funny. Oh my God. And then
it was total animosity at first.
Total animosity at first. Oh, and then the moment we met, Matt remembers this more lucidly than I do.
And Mung was like, "Let's all go to see a sketch comedy show at NYU called Hammer Cats." Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wasn't in the group at the time, but we all went, and Bowen and I met in this small group.
Yes.
And Mung was like, "You'll meet Bowen at this, and he's in Danger Box, the improv group, and you'll meet him." And we met, and it was like, okay.
two little dogs sniffing each other's asses.
Sniffing each other's little asses. And so we met there, and then we didn't speak again for many months.
Yes.
What?
But then, Abra. And this is where improv comes into play. And this is, I'll always have a thing with improv.
This is a distorted perspective.
Bowen was in the improv group at NYU. Mm-hmm,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I went to audition for the group my sophomore year because I decided I'd come out of the closet. I was not going to wear American Eagle anymore. I was going to pursue comedy, which I had always wanted to do.
Still wears American Eagle.
No, I do not.
Sometimes, somebody look for that eagle. Is it on your shirt?
No,
anyway?
Don't look.
Don't look.
But I went to go audition for the Danger Box improv group, and Bowen comes over.
Oh,
and this
my
is
God.
Before
this
I got into the room to audition. And he goes, "Hey, Matt. Wow, it's great to see you. Everyone says you're so funny." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm really hoping to get on the group." And he goes, "Well, let's look at your little paper that you filled out." I was like, "Okay,
no,
well, here it is." And he said, "Improv 101. I was like, "Yeah, Ben Rogers was my teacher." He goes, "Oh, that's good. That means you're already at an advantage. So you took a class." I was like, "Yeah, I hope so." Go in there, cut first round, Abra.
Shut up.
Okay.
Cut first round.
Now let's do what he said.
Cut.
Let's do what he said.
Anna Dresden, SNL writer, cut me.
Let's do it.
First round.
Let's do what he said. He said. Okay. This is okay. So that was Matt.
Ab, I can't.
Ab,
and
hold
I was
on.
Scared of improv from that moment on.
No. Stop. Can I?
Won't step foot.
Can I tell
won't
my
step
version?
Foot in
can
the
I,
scene. Won't won't get off the back wall.
Please allow me to tell my version of the story. Okay.
Go for it.
I'm excited to just, this is my first year as a, you know,
already
quote unquote,
completely different story.
This is my first year as like a quote unquote upperclassman. Like I'm not a freshman anymore. I'm excited to be part of the audition process, which was so, so harrowing that first year, freshman year in the previous year. It's a very nerve wracking experience. So
hard to be young.
So I walk out, and I see all the auditioners, and then I spot Matt, who's a familiar face, and I go, "Oh my goodness, Matt, it's so good to see you. I'm so excited you're auditioning. So, have you done improv before? And then we basically get to, I took Improv 101, Ben Rogers was my teacher. And I go, "That's amazing. That means you already have a leg up on everybody. So that's great."
Yeah, I felt real good going in the room. Felt real good. Had been reassured and everything.
And I said, "Well, like, break a leg, dude. Like, it would be so cool to, like, be on the same team together."
Then, of course, the way you judge someone based on their improv is three-line scenes.
Yes, of course.
Three-line scenes.
And
strong
I'll tell
character.
I'll tell you what happened after the first round. We all the team members go into a room, and we're, like, going through our lists of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to Matt Rogers, and then Anna Dresden says no. Some other people say no, and then I go, "No, that's Matt. I know him from freshman year. He's so funny. I think he'd be really, really great. Let's put him through the next round." And I was outvoted.
Oh my God!
And I fought
and all
for
them. Now they're my friends. Now and I'll never forget.
Can I tell my version of the story?
You tell. Now what happened? What happened?
Okay, so I was at NYU. I was in a classroom. I sneak into the buildings to use the restroom, and I was in this room. And then there were a bunch of college improvisers and I was eating a bag of McDonald's.
A bag of McDonald's. Put a pin in that.
And then I saw a sign and it said comedy. And I ran in the room and I snuck in there. And then all of a sudden, I like out of the corner of my eye, I see these two hunks. And they're talking, and then all of a sudden, one of them grabs the other, and the other one hits the other. Yeah, and I'm like, stop it. Stop fighting. And then they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I can't tell you. And then I ran away.
Oh, my God, Bowen, that was her. That was her. Abra was the girl.
Oh, my God, Abra.
She said, I can't tell you. I'm crying. That's so funny. Oh, my God. I can't tell you.
What happened to the McDonald's?
I left it. You didn't eat it.
Oh, no. It's probably still there.
Oh, my God. I left it, and then I came back, and I was like, this is weird. I'm going to take this. Oh, my God. Still can't tell you.
Well, just so you guys know, the next day, I made it onto the sketch team.
Yes.
And then I said to all of them from the improv group, I was like, you watch this space. I was like, I'll be coming for you all one day.
You said, what I've got inside me?
What I've been holding down inside of me, there wouldn't be signs big enough.
There wouldn't be stars
bright enough.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. Oh, that's funny. We don't get to tell that origin story often.
That is how it all started.
That is amazing, and yes. It is hilarious how... Even just the start of your stories, it's just the tone. It's like, I was just being positive. And it's just like, I came in the room, I was so nervous. And it's just instant.
It's status.
And then, I don't know, like, I think we truly became friends because we were at, like one of the, like, parties after one of the shows and, like, noticed across the room that one of the other was, like, lip-syncing perfectly Nicki Minaj's Super Bass. And I was like...
This one.
Who are you really?
Yes.
And then we became true friends.
True friends.
So thank you, Nicki Minaj.
Thank you, Nicki. Now, Abra, we have to get down to this question.
Your origin story.
What was the culture that made you think, culture?
It's for me.
Yeah. Culture, it's for me.
I'm going to try this on.
Oh, my gosh. Probably... can I just say that my culture source might be my dad.
That's great.
Okay, great.
Who's, by the way, his name is Harley, which is just like
Harley Tayback.
But name. I think I got to know culture through my dad, who, when I was little, had a mustache, huge, but was a big acoustic guitar player.
Okay. Lots of music in the house
from the dad.
Uh-huh.
And then I think that was like my first introduction into like music.
That's
was
great.
Just like Peter, Paul, and Mary songs.
Oh, that's
my
great.
Dad.
So it was like an artistic house.
No. I think my dad...
We were artists, the Taybacks.
I mean, my family is very supportive in that they love me, but I think they would love for me to do something else.
That's my bag, right?
You know, but my dad is just, he has a beautiful voice and he works in nursing homes and plays his guitar and he's
that's
a tender soul.
That's fantastic.
And so, that was my first like stage moment was like singing with him and being like, this feels
amazing. So did you ever go to the nursing homes and perform with him for
that was the first show.
Oh my God.
It was like a talent night or whatever. And I remember like going up with him. And then we have like just a random home video where my dad is just jamming,
shredding,
and I think it might be my brother's birthday and he's playing and then I get up and it's fully improvised and I literally sing a song that's like, I like to eat hot dogs and ketchup, and then I sing to my brother at a point, I'm like, how are you, Benjamin, I love you, and my brother will not even look at me. He's like, no, shut it down, this is my party and you are the
worst. How are you, Benjamin? I love you.
I love that those lilts.
I love you. That's very like our sensibility.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
This
is a song.
That's culture.
That's Brandon Scott Jones too. He does that. I'm singing now. can't think of a more joyful way to perform.
To express yourself.
Why not? Just add a little bit of inflection and let it ride.
Yes.
And
let it ride. So where does Abra come from, the name?
Yeah. So she is a character in John Steinbeck's East of Eden.
I love that.
Who in East of Eden? Which character?
Her name is Abra.
No, but where? But,
have you read it?
fucking idiot.
Oh, wait. Abra. Oh, because in East of Eden, all the characters with C names are evil. All the characters with A names are good.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yes, no, because...
No, so you are the smart one.
No, but I think Abra...
What is it about the sea?
So it's basically like it's reincarnations of Cain and Abel. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So Cain kills Abel. And okay. So see, it's...
Spoiler.
Jesus. Genesis. Read it.
Genesis is ruined for me now.
Don't even bother.
I'm not even going to watch the miniseries coming out next spring.
Oh, my God. Imagine. Every year there's a Bible series. Anyway. Oh,
got to.
Got to.
And then, so I think Abra must have been one of the, like, the matriarchs of the family. There's the Ames family, I think. Anyway, that's very cool. I didn't get that reference until just now.
No, wow. I honestly, hearing you say that is so great because I read it for the first time, like, 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was so nervous to read it.
Uh-huh. It's an intense book.
It is so intense.
Yeah.
And my parents had always said, oh, it's described her as the good girl. And I was like, what does this mean?
Oh.
But she ends up being the love interest between the brothers.
Yes.
And, I mean, come on.
Oh, my God.
And the book,
it's a love triangle?
Well, no. I mean, she's with the one brother, and then in the end, spoiler, like, the one dies.
Then,
like, it wraps up that it's clear, like, she and the other brother are going to be together because they're both, like, struggling with
life.
Right,
but then there's the evil woman in that.
The mom of the brothers is, like, the real...
Kathy.
Yes. Who's just, like, a bona fide, like sociopath.
Satan, like,
oh,
yeah.
My
demon.
Gosh.
Yeah.
This is a John Steinbeck novel?
John Steinbeck. Yes. It was like his big, like, it was after Grapes. He wrote Grapes of Wrath, and he was like, I'm going to write my masterpiece. I think he considered it his masterpiece.
I've only read Of Mice and Men.
I've never read that. Well,
that was the only one they made us read in school. I famously haven't read many books.
Here's the thing. I will openly admit that I have a lack of classics in my arsenal.
Same.
100%.
And now as an adult, I have to read like fun books before bed. I do read before I go to sleep.
Right.
But it's got to be like a murder mystery or like a young adult book or something. Like if you go, it was hard to read East of Eden. I was like, I got to push myself.
Slog through it. You know what's a fun...
Those books are tough, especially when you're 14.
But you know what?
Come on.
I know. They expect us to read that
Make
at 14.
Me read Scarlet Letter when I'm 30. Okay?
Okay.
Then I'll get it.
Save it for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh, you're right. I don't think so. Public Schools of New York.
Wow. You know what? You know what's a good mix of like fun, beach reedy murder mystery and like semi-serious book is like Agatha Christie stuff.
I was going to say.
I'm reading a lot of Poirot.
Oh.
Poirot novels. It's the
Bonjour.
He's the detective that Agatha Christie writes. He's great.
I just finished. Have you heard of Tana French? She's like a murder mystery writer. She's Irish. And I am very into the library right now.
Ooh.
Her name is Tana French.
Can you believe
it? Oh my God. What a glamapus.
Glamapus. Yeah, and I just finished it because it was due today, so I was like on the subway really pushing through.
Oh my God, was it good?
It was very good.
Nice.
It was a great book.
Tana French.
We have to explore.
If I didn't make that name up,
I know.
I don't know.
That's
Tana French.
Rogers name, absolutely.
I made that up.
Tana
French. I'd be like, I'm sorry. I may have made you up.
That's amazing. The library culture, but that's a forgotten piece of culture.
Yeah.
Well, here's the... I was afraid of libraries in New York for a long time because of the old bee bugs. Oh, and...
Because we saw in Ghostbusters that they're haunted.
That's true.
Tana French.
Oh, that's the title of this episode, I think.
No, because when...
Or is it Tana French? I don't know. It's
either
so good.
One could be great.
Yeah.
But when bee bugs were like really taking over New York,
people were
like, you can get them through library books that a little bee bug will be in the book. And then you'd be like, squeesh, and then put it away, and then you'll take it home.
You've had bee bugs?
Never. I will leave New York City. Gone. It's done. I've already made that mental choice that if it happened, I will burn everything and leave in a fire glory.
I feel like that's the ultimate rite of passage, though. Bee bugs.
I can't do
no
it.
No way. I don't want it.
I had a bee bug scare. I don't want it My at all. First year in New York, I had a bee bug scare freshman year.
Ugh.
I was sitting in...
In the dorm?
Not in the... Well, I never...
Oh, never lived in a dorm. Bowen never lived in a dorm.
I lived with my sister.
Always off the grid. Always off the grid.
Off the grid, baby. You know how they refer to the grid as dorms. so I... Yeah, I just was getting a bunch of bites. And then I would never be able to fall asleep.
No.
Mm-mm. And then I would just I would go to lecture at 9 a.m. for like econ. And I would just this was at
I don't think so, honey. This was
at Skirball. This is at Skirball. Giant lecture
big
hall.
Big old lecture hall.
Lecture hall, also a fun place to like play games.
Also Skirball.
And also literally Alicia Keys did a concert there.
Also literally it's a huge venue.
Yeah. People do it.
People do it.
People do it.
So I can point to the seat where I just like looked up bed bugs on my laptop. No. Anyway.
And you knew you had it.
I thought I had it, and then it ended up we didn't have it. It was fine. Thank God.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anytime you get a bite in New York, and it's the immediate question, mm-hmm. and sometimes just like a little mosquito or some little spider mm-hmm. really doesn't realize the anxiety that they cause.
No, not at all.
Also, you guys, if you're looking for apartments and you find this great apartment and the rent is real low, probably it's had bee bugs. You have to do your bee bug check.
I just love that Abra. I've never heard bee bugs before. I love that Abra.
Neither did I. And it took me a second. I was like, "Oh, she's talking about." But we dare not say its name. No, we're jinxing ourselves right now.
I honestly have too many words that are created by me that I assume everyone understands.
But that is culture.
But that's culture. That's culture creation.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Like. I always say
this is actually a pre-established rule we've said on the show. Rule number 78, you can invent words.
You can invent words.
That is
And I always say, you know, if I ever see someone on the street and I call them something goofy, like a flaffa or like Buna or like June, that means I love them.
Yes.
We ran into Dara Katz the other day on the street and I say, oh, June.
And then
I said to her, I was like, you know, that means I love you, that I made up a name.
That's when you know.
Sudi Green is... many things.
Rita.
Well, you say Rita, and I say, you know, Buna, Fafa, Lafa,
she's
Sufa.
She's Fafa.
Fafa to me.
And I'm...
many things.
I'm many things. Henry is...
many things.
No, Henry's... what's the main one? Grubbis.
Grubbis.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's come up with one for Abra, because we do love Abra.
I have a good one for Abra.
Oh, my
gosh.
Here
we go.
Laffle.
Honestly, I've always
Laffle!
Wanted a tattoo, and now I know.
Just get it across your back.
It's going to be a huge cursive across the back. Laffle.
And make sure it's many colors.
Yes.
It can't just be black. It has to be very colorful.
Laffle across my back. And also just like a little falafel underneath it, just to be silly.
Just to be silly.
Laffle, not to be confused with falafel.
Yeah, it says
don't
that. Not
you dare,
don't
in
you
fact.
Dare.
Because falafel, famously a real word.
And not something that I want to look like.
My falafel. Like, falafel. Shit. I look like a little lumpy orange thing.
Oh, my God. Falafel. Oh, okay. So right off the air, Abra came in, and then somehow... Oh. We got to a League of Their Own.
It's because you have a new hat right now. Bowen's wearing a nice little new hat. Mm-hmm.
Famously, I've said publicly, hats are insane. But and my head has always been too big for hats. But I found this good one. It has a really small little bill. It's really cute.
That's very emotional for me that you just said that.
Well, I'm sorry, but now I'm coming
around. Because I don't know how you feel. Mm-hmm. But when I was in high school... I tried to wear hats, uh-huh. and all my friends said I look stupid in a hat.
Oh,
Those aren't friends.
Screw
also,
them.
We weren't allowed to wear hats in school.
No, us neither.
Socially.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I was wondering if your school was like, you can do
one
it.
Of those lax schools.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, why was
because,
that?
You know what the reasoning that we got was because you could apparently hide a gun under your hat.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that the most insane thing
you've
ever heard?
First of all, no, you can't.
No, you cannot.
How just uncomfortable would that be?
No. What? Under this hat? Nothing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Meanwhile, in my enormous backpack.
Yeah, what the hell?
A band backpack.
What about the backpacks then?
I know.
I can't believe that was ever the case. What they told
did they
you
tell
that.
You? Yeah, I mean, apparently it was. What did they tell you?
I honestly don't remember. I just feel like there were so many rules based so you couldn't carry weapons. Like, it was like, I guess it was folded into that. There were other, I mean, trench coats were obviously banned.
Oh, sure. Oh, God.
Other things that I feel like, yeah, now thinking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, we weren't allowed.
Our it was definitely a respect thing. Mm. But my superintendent was very conservative. Like I've said before on the pod, like our musicals that we were doing, we could never do anything that like suggested anything sexual. Like we were not allowed to do Grease. We were not allowed to do any of that. But we did do The King and I in an all white high school, and also The Wiz.
Oh, with an all white
cast. So like you could tell what was the priority there.
Right, right, right.
But ours was definitely the heads must be bare because it's a respect.
Oh.
Now, wait, I don't know if this might have anything to do with the rule, but where was school?
Virginia.
I mean, yeah, it's gun country. I don't know. It's all... this whole
thing. I just refuse to believe that it's a gun thing.
I'm not sure. I honestly, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember what it was about hats, but I just remember like, oh yeah, we couldn't wear hats.
About gum?
Well, I would never. I hate gum.
Wow, shocking!
Oh my goodness.
Well, that's well.
All kinds.
No, I mean, I'm not saying I don't like the taste of it, but it's it literally is like an anxiety thing. I think it's called like misophonia. It's like people who are super sensitive to sounds and like gum. So if someone chomps their gum or cracks it, I like will lose my mind.
Wow.
Like can't focus on anything else.
Yeah.
So I don't chew it because I mean, I will every once in a while, but it does bother me so much. It feels like a double standard.
So you weren't privy to the rules on it because it wasn't part of your culture.
It wasn't part of my culture.
You guys didn't have gum in school.
We were not to chew gum.
I think you're right, though. I think it wasn't allowed in school, too.
We were not to chew gum.
Our fourth grade class during standardized testing season lobbied to have gum. Free gum during the testing because we pulled up studies as fourth graders, mind you.
That it made you think better.
Yeah. We were like, look, Mrs. Jacoby, we can think better on gum, right? And like, who knows if there was someone in the class with mesophonia?
it's clearly, I don't.
Mesophiliomia.
Mesophiliomia.
Who knows
if there was. Oh, guys, I've been that commercial.
Booked it.
Who knows if there was someone in the class who suffered.
And
that,
also, what a humiliating at that age thing to say. Like, guys, I'm sorry. even though we've proved it can make us think better, I'm mesothelioma.
Even though I'm under the age of 10, I'm that person. I can't do it.
Literally Googled. I found out about this like maybe a month ago because I was Googling it because I was like, why does this bother me so much? Then I entered like a world where everyone was like, this exists. Yeah. It makes me feel better knowing I have it. And then I was like, I have it.
Wow. Community.
But living I think I just disease. Am like a... like a wound type person who's just like,
you can't do it.
I'm nervous.
You know, I've heard of people with the fear of gum because they believe that they'll choke on it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
so
what
it's a fear.
Like, it's like a thing. It's like an irrational thing. Like, I can't put the gum in my mouth because at some point I will absentmindedly be chewing it and I will choke on it.
Right.
They shouldn't eat then.
let me tell you, swallowing gum, not
nasty.
A day in the park. Not a day in the park.
Not
just
a swallow day
gum.
In the park.
Panicky.
Panicky.
Get a little bit panicky whenever I swallow.
When it
gum.
Happens, just like a...
just like, oh my God! Yeah. Just like when it's in your throat. It's like, oh God. Mm-mm-mm. And then they also say that rumor that gum stays in your stomach for 7 years.
Yes.
Yes. Back
so
to
maybe
hats.
They're right. Maybe they're right. Maybe
back
the schools,
to hats.
The schools aren't right about that. But we got on this topic because Bowen has a new little hat.
So I'm trying. I'm entering this new phase in my life where I'm gonna give hats a try.
That's good.
You look cute, Bo.
Come
you
around
do.
On hats. Thank you. That means a lot because I, like Matt, was told as a child,
no hats.
Why? You look not even no hats. Like you look dumb in hats. Because my
a power
head was,
thing, Ob. I think it's a power, thing.
To tell someone you can't do it.
I think you look bad in this.
Yeah,
and,
that's what
and
I'm saying.
That's like a very high school thing.
Yeah.
I think it's like you look stupid or you look bad or you can't do this is like a power thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. At that critical age. Yeah. So anyway, I was wearing this hat and then someone, was it Ob you that said I looked like?
No, that was a sweet Matt.
Sweet
remark.
Matt.
I said, I looked at him in this hat and it is a cap with a short brim. Mm-hmm. And I said, you look like the umpire. I said this with love because I don't want to remember I'm the sweet one.
Right.
So I said this with love. I said, you look like the umpire in A League of Their Own that Tom Hanks says you look like a little penis with a hat on. But in the cutest way.
In the cutest way.
And I think that it's so dainty on you and so cute.
Thank you. And then I famously said, I have never seen League of Their Own.
To which Abra replied,
oh my God.
And I concurred.
But Aubrey, you've seen it so many times.
I've seen it so many times. And I did say it is maybe my favorite movie of all time.
Culture.
I've
Culture.
Seen it so many times. It's so good. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I know. It, I know.
But honestly, don't feel bad because I also, along with books, there's a lot of classic movies that I haven't seen.
Likewise.
That people really get on me about. And I'm like, look.
Name the biggest one. What's the biggest?
Sound of Music.
Oh my God, Aubra, I've never seen it either.
No way!
I've never seen it either. And people kill me for it.
Guys.
Yes. I mean,
oh my God, Brandon kills me for it. Henry is moving out because of it.
It's one of the most beautiful movies of all time.
I mean, I got a backlog of a lot of things I gotta see.
Yeah, I know. Also, The Godfather for me.
I have seen it, but maybe not start to finish. I've probably pieced it together.
It's a slog, yeah.
Have you seen West Side Story?
Yes.
I haven't seen that one either. Oh, gosh.
So beautiful.
Oh, Bowen's crying.
Yeah, but then I hear about the horrible things that happen in it.
Right.
Oh. I don't want to see that.
Oh, like
I don't want to see what happens to Anita.
I never.
I love that your thing that you could not handle seeing is the thing that happens to Anita.
Anita. Well,
you really, she's under like mentioned in terms of the tragedy of West Side Story. It's like, what about Anita?
Anita. What about Chino?
It's like, what about Barb from Stranger Things?
Yes.
Oh, Barb.
Barb.
Were you a Stranger Things fan?
I really loved it. I really, really did.
So did I.
Although I was terrified.
Yeah, same. I can't watch it because it's too scary. We had it on for 10 seconds and I was like, Ken,
I'm
out. I
just was listening to you guys talking about that. And I was like, I do get that. And also the thing that I fully agreed with is your Breaking Bad sitch that I think also made it to 4. And then I was like, I'm depressed and upset and I can't finish.
And it got so much worse from that point from what I hear.
Mm.
Like I watched through the first episode of season 4 of Breaking Bad and then I had to stop. I was like, you know what? I respect this, but I can't be a part of it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of shows where, you're supposed to power through, but I'm trying to really empower myself to say,
no,
my actual mood is getting bad because I'm watching this stuff. I have to stop.
And does it get to the point with you too, where like sometimes you'll be watching like a normal show where like violent things don't happen, but you assume that there will be something?
Yes.
Mad Men, I would be watching it behind a pillow. And I was scared. What? I was scared. In the last season of Mad Men, I watched from behind a sheet, terrified.
So I just
said there was going to be something violent.
So this is just like people who are scared of swallowing gum. You're afraid of something that has very low likelihood of happening.
You know what? You're right.
Right? Like it's.
What do you think that means about me?
I don't know. I think this is this says more about humanity than it does you.
It does.
We all have these irrational fears of huge catastrophic things that hopefully won't happen.
Right.
But
they do.
They do.
You
they
know
do
what?
They don't.
What my most irrational, like whatever, my biggest fear ever, and that's why this has been such a shitty time to be on Facebook lately, is I very much fear like nuclear war.
Oh, God.
So everyone coming out with their jokes about like, we're getting nuked.
And not funny.
I think it's, not only is it not funny, I think it's hacky.
Oh,
I think that you're all hacks. Sorry. And also, you need to have some respect. Because there's people out there that are truly scared of that.
Yes.
And it's scary. You're talking about everyone
dying.
But
that's implying that the people who are making the jokes aren't scared.
Well, right? That's fine. Deal with your fear however you want. Actually, no. Wait. Don't. Don't type a Facebook status about it.
Oh, wow.
I don't like it. I find it disrespectful.
Honestly,
I do.
Currently, no Facebook. Took Twitter off my phone. Instagram's gone as well. I came back in for a moment and then I come back out. I can't be on it. It's too much.
It's too much.
This is happening now because a lot of people are just there's a mass exodus and I think after this weekend I'm done.
I think I might be done too. I can't imagine you not on it though.
I know.
No, really.
I mean, it does. I'm happier.
Good. Yeah.
Okay,
oh, wow.
Good.
Good.
I'm so happy to hear that Henry is off too, and he says he's so much happier.
Oh, it is. And all, you know, I just, when everything happened, yes, I took it all off my phone, and then I just watched incessant episodes of Great British Bake Off, and that is how I survived
Self-care.
The
wonderful.
Results
Self-care.
Of the election.
Yeah.
Look, can I just say, I just want to point out real quickly, I looked up to Abra a lot, especially during the primary season, because she would publicly wear her Hillary fucking Clinton shirt everywhere, and I'd be like, yes, fuck yes, Abra. And then, like, I like when all, like, you know, when, like, the whole, like, oh, it's cool to love Bernie, which it was, which is, and it's great, and I love Bernie, but I was a Hillary guy.
I always, yeah. always
Hillary. And I was like, people would just shit on you for liking Hillary, and I'd be like, no. We're out here wearing our shirts.
Yes.
And it was a very nice thing to see Abra just wear that.
I'm
literally.
Glad. I love her. 100%. I love her so much. I was at her headquarters volunteering throughout.
Ugh,
it was just the best. And I was there on election day, and I was just like, we were all just like, yeah. And then,
were you at Javits or were you at the office?
No, I was at the office, in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Yeah.
Gosh.
But I think she's incredible, and I still do. And I just want to talk to her.
There's an amazing.
I know. I have to say, absolutely no regrets.
No regrets.
And everyone's like, well, and I agree with them. There is a lot to learn from the election going forward, but, like, no regrets.
There was a great piece. I don't know if it was in the Washington Post or something else, where it was like Hillary Clinton plans her next move, and it's very interesting. They wrote this after the inauguration. They were like, she's gonna I think her and and the Obamas are really gonna like. Make a place for and Bernie, like everybody, like right. I mean, which there's an argument to be made about whether or not these are the Democratic leaders we want, since they've, you know, on a certain level failed us in an election. But I think collectively they're going to create a place and a space for everyone to sort of like anchor their ideologies, and so that's very exciting, and I can't wait to see what's next for Hillary. I really can't.
Me too, and I honestly, in a lot of ways, I just don't feel like we deserve her.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
everything
agreed.
She does, everyone's like even at the inauguration, everything was like Hillary Clinton's so stoic, and I'm like, what more do you want from this woman? She is here. I would have flipped him off run off, and but she was. Elegant and poised, and even then people were trying to find something, and I was just like, you know what, I want just you to have an island, and I want you to grow your hair long, and I want you to just like live your life, because
Sheba,
we don't deserve
the goddess.
Yes. I'm like, you've done so much, and just girl woman,
yeah,
woman. I love
get
you.
It
and honestly, not that it really matters, but she looked incredible.
I mean,
I was like, the second she stepped out and the cameras were right in her face, I'm like, you know what? That is literal. That says everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you still had to know what her reaction would be. Like, you're still so interested, aren't you? You're so interested. I was just like, you know, it's just so fucked up. I don't know. I still get salty about it because... Excuse me. It was like she was poised in a way that he is not he's not capable of being.
Not in for a moment of his life.
No.
It just upsets me a lot. But you know what? You know what's actually been really nice for me? What I've been doing is just thinking about all the amazing new leaders that have just been elected to
Kamala.
Positions. Like Kamala.
Yeah.
Like Tammy Duckworth.
Tammy.
Oh,
who's an amazing story. And people aren't talking about it enough. That is an amazing story.
Incredible.
Right.
Like, and it got totally swept under the rug with all the other bullshit that was happening. But like, we elected the first disabled woman to Senate. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Huge.
That's amazing. And Kamala, I think, is a force.
Kamala
is a force.
A force.
My girl Kirsten's coming through right now.
Kirsten
Gill.
She's looking like a woman who's running for prez.
You think?
Well, I mean, it's the whole voting no on all the appointments, and like she's
wow.
The
that's
senator.
Very interesting.
That's a thing.
Never
I
thought
feel like
about
we
it.
Gotta highlight these good things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Because even
happening.
And that's when the march was happening. I was like. You know, at first I was so annoyed that like the Times still had Trump at the top of their web page. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And then eventually it got pushed to the front. But I was like, we can't let the garbage dominate. Like there's good stuff happening.
Speaking of the garbage.
Yes.
One of Bowen and I's favorite thing is to watch Omarosa on talk shows.
Oh.
And Omarosa, I think it was yesterday or today, was on The View, honey.
Stop it.
No, I don't know.
I've never
this.
Heard anything I love more than the words Omarosa on The View. Because The View is how I get my news.
Ugh, Matt, not anymore.
And it has been since 2008.
You can't keep this up.
And I get my news from The View. And watching Omarosa on The View today, I gotta say, I'm excited to hear more from Omarosa.
No,
are you excited,
Matt,
that she'll probably be our Secretary of State or something?
Like, let me tell you something. The way that she was talking to them,
she's insane.
Like, Sonny Hostin, the one host on The View, was like asking a question, and of course it was like a compound question, and Omarosa's like, well, you know what, how about I answer your first question and then we can talk about the other parts of your question, because what you just asked is really a lot. So your first question in your series of confusing questions, I'll do that.
Oh,
thank
my
you so much,
God.
And then it takes her so long to tell you how stupid the way that you've asked the question is, and then she answers the question. And it all just comes back to, like, don't you ever speak to me the way that you've spoken to me. I know what's up and you don't. That's, and it's just so overpowering.
It's so toxic, though.
It's so toxic, but it's funny.
But that's what we said about Trump.
Right. But here's the thing. I don't watch The View, but I was, and I believe it was yesterday, I was in the gym, plug, and...
Yes, yes.
Wait, I love that. I was in the gym, plug.
I was in the gym.
And I purposely, I go at a random time when no one's there, like at like 11, hello, no work.
Hi.
And and change hello. The TVs because they'll be on CNN and I can't see his stupid face.
No.
Yeah.
And The View was on, and first of all, it was an Aladdin Broadway dedicated show.
Oh my God, yes.
And Whoopi got she got a costume made to be the genie.
God.
And so the best part is that obviously I can't hear the sound and there were no captions. So I was just imagining what was happening. And first of all, this was the entire episode because the genie was a guest host.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see her like going down the hallway and like getting ready to come up through the tube.
Yeah.
And I guess she just like pops out of the tube and is like, hey.
This is Whoopi?
they were like, Whoopi as the genie, which you know means she's going to walk out there and be like,
I'm Whoopi.
And everyone's going to freak out because it's Whoopi.
Oh yes, but then it was just like, I didn't know what was happening, but eventually the other genie who was there.
The real genie,
please stand up.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I love it.
Did it work?
The real genie, please stand up.
Oh, God. We're still singing songs. And then I guess she just like left and that was it. Like she just came in to be like, two genies? Bye.
I have to say she wasn't on this episode with Omarosa, which made me feel so mad.
Whoopi would have just not had it.
Let me tell you, that means that Joy was the moderator for the episode. And you know that there's shit between Joy and Omarosa. Because Omarosa goes, you know, Joy, you're being, you're obviously very angry. And I can understand that because I can understand how terrible you must feel that Trump is in office.
God
and
damn
he
it.
Is. Ooh, and let God. Me tell you something. You have hit him and hit him and hit him. And there he is in office. And Joy's like, yeah, actually, it does. It kills me. It literally kills me. It does. And then.
That's what you have to do. Yeah.
Then. I Google search Joy Behar. Do you know she's 74?
No.
She looks unreal.
She looks amazing. Yeah.
She's 74. I would have guessed in her 50s.
Do you know
what I mean?
Do you know who's about to hit 70?
Who?
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if that's as surprising.
No, maybe
but,
not.
But
like,
she's youthful.
She looks,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
Can I also, we're talking about very important people. This person is also important to me.
Come on.
Okay, guess how old Keanu Reeves is.
No.
60.
Oh.
50? 52.
I'm kidding. I guessed high.
Wait,
52?
Yes.
What?
He looks amazing.
He looks amazing.
I like it. That's hot.
That's hot.
Keanu Reeves was my crush. I had a collage, and he is still like top five.
Oh yeah.
And I love John Wick. I think it is such a good movie, and I will
seen.
Be.
John Wick 2 is coming out.
I will February 10th. I will be there.
Wow.
I
Do
love
you stand
it.
For Keanu? Like you see all the movies?
I've seen like his action movies.
Speed. Speed 2.
Ugh. I mean,
oh no, he wasn't in Speed 2. Right. Just
Sandra. That was like a water situation.
Yes, Sandra
Speed
on a cruise
is
boat.
An incredible movie.
It's good.
But he's also, I mean, I could go, I like literally have researched him. He's an incredible person. He's also
he's had a great person.
He's had like a very tough time in life and in love.
Yeah.
And he's very generous and yes. He's just a great
he
dude.
He could so easily be a dirtbag, but he's not.
He's not.
He's not.
Yeah, who's a dirtbag that's
like Orlando
him?
Bloom, you know?
Do you think he's a dirtbag?
Based on his wee-wee?
Based on his wee-wee. His
butt. Pee-pee being out, like, almost on Katy Perry's back when they were, like, water surfing.
I've talked about this on the pod before.
Water surfing. Let's put a pin in that.
I was in line behind him at the 14th Street McDonald's at 4 a.m. And he was being
Oh, my God, yes, tell this.
He was being a drunk. I've told this before. I'll tell it again.
This is good. This is culture.
Matt and I were at this Hammer Cats after party. And I was... Call back. Got very, very drunk.
Wild after parties in college when you're in sketch.
When
comedy.
You're in sketch. So I leave and then I go to the McDonald's on 14th and 6th, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And it's like 3 in the morning and then there's a homeless person sort of like leaning against the counter, not even doing, just kind of hanging out
14th
there.
And 3rd. That's the one you
Oh,
went
that's
to.
The one, yeah.
The bad one.
Just leaning there, just not like not doing anything. And then Orlando, and then I go up to the counter and there's this man behind me and then... And then this man is like shouting at the people.
No
one's at the register, but he's shouting at the people behind the racks and stuff. And he's like, "Help this guy out! Help this guy out!" And then he turns around and I see it's fucking Orlando Bloom. And he goes, "Why won't these people like feed this man a burger?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's terrible. Like I don't remember what I said." But then the next week, he had his second child. Like. Where was he where was he to like support his the mother
He's
of his children?
Definitely crazy.
Yeah.
Also, that whole scenario, I envisioned you in a full costume, like a sketch costume. Just like
dressed as a wizard.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, Orlando.
I just went to a sketch to my friend's sketch comedy show. Yeah, it was
also,
a weird
Also, why run-in. Was no one at the register?
I don't know.
Because it was a McDonald's at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, just leave the register.
And it was a bad McDonald's.
Why are you here?
But Orlando's for sure a D-bag.
Well, I was thinking along the lines of, like, Russell Crowe, who's like a
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which you can't have Russell.
Documented.
Colin Farrell?
No, maybe he's
a good guy.
Let me tell you something. That's a good sex tape. Have you seen the Colin Farrell sex tape?
Who's he have sex with?
This... Playboy playmate named Nicole Narain.
I think
no.
I think gotta, this is one of the few sex tapes.
Why
I've
is it
seen.
Good? I'm
Google
interested.
Search because it's Colin Farrell.
Also, your plugging of Google search. Also, not just Google, but you specify
Google?
You can Google search. It's
googlesearch.com. I want to make sure everyone googlesearch.com / Colin Farrell sex tape.
And then you type in Colin Farrell sex tape, you hit search, and then the first link that comes
genuine
up.
Genuine terrified about, I mean, this could launch into a very private discussion, about being tracked for things you search and like accidentally getting a virus that's like, you have inappropriate porn on your computer. It's like, no, I wasn't. I was just searching for Colin Farrell. And it's like, you got a virus.
Hold on. I came back the other day and there was a name of a really bizarre celebrity shirtless. And I was like, Henry, what the heck?
Oh, no.
And I have to think of who it was.
What was the celebrity in?
I don't remember it, but it was like a celebrity that you would. Oh, my God. He's going to be so mad, but I'm going to say it. He has such a crush on Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so embarrassed.
Oh, but Thomas is a cutie.
He's so cute. Yeah. And then I was like, you know, if you want to... Then I showed him his YouTube above average series, The Morning After.
Where
he's shirtless in many of them. And I was like, here you go, babe. There you go.
That's a good gift.
Oh, that was nice. Also, it was very cute you getting like so happy and like worried about saying it. But
well,
it was like,
I'm concerned because now I feel like you might be mad. I'm going to check in with him later to see if that can be on the pod. I'm sure he's fine with it.
Oh, yeah. No.
We all have crushes.
It's endearing.
I have so many celeb crushes.
Who? What's your top five? Go
on.
Okay.
Keanu.
Keanu is absolutely.
Sorry.
No, it was a fun. I think Keanu.
Keanu. Kiana Rubs.
Kiana Party of Two. Martin Freeman dominates.
Whoa, great. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
no, I get
off the grid.
I get it.
where the grid is.
I mean,
the town in, you know, the town.
The town.
The town in The Hobbit.
I mean, yep.
World End.
The World's End.
What's it called?
No, The Shire.
I get
the Shire.
No, World's End. It's a bar in Chelsea.
Where the world ends, you know, 14th and 8th.
Oh my God. Kiana, Martin.
Martin.
Kiana, sorry.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Wow. Yeah. Henry too.
You
have a very similar list to him. He likes nerds.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. I will also say Cillian Murphy gets in there, which is different. I recently had a conversation with someone about, and they were very like, his bone structure is too much. And I was like, or it's perfect.
Yeah, come on.
And
one more.
And then, I mean, yeah, Elijah Wood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's been around. Beautiful, big old eyes.
Big old eyes.
You're a Lord of the Rings queen.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Fantasy queen with Daniel.
Fantasy queen.
100%. Yeah. Like, in college, I was an RA, and basically.
Same.
Were you?
Yeah.
I loved it. Did you?
I got fired. Oh! I got fully fired.
Oh no!
But I loved it for the year and a half that I was one.
I was it through all of college. Like,
oh wow!
After my freshman, I lived in the dorms my entire time in college.
Where was college?
On the grid,
University of Virginia,
UVA.
UVA. Yes. Smart. Yeah, but you were on the grid.
I was on the grid. I was totally on the grid. Yeah. But basically, I would like go around to my gals on the hall, and I just would be like, guys, get the extended DVDs of Lord of the Rings, and I would. Anybody who wanted to come over to my room, I'd be watching those Lord of the Rings DVDs.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was like your programming.
Yeah. See, I would like do an activity. I was like, is this you?
I always hosted the Oscars in the basement.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah. And I was like, everyone fill out your ballot. Who thinks Viola Davis is winning? Like, it was never happening until this year.
Until this year.
Oscars queen?
Here's the thing. Right now, your finger, I love how direct it is, and it's making me
Oscars
nervous.
Queen?
But also, I'm not a big award show person. Mm-hmm. I do like to know the results.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
The award shows for me, I'm like, I just hurry.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I get into the outfits. So I look at it online. Yeah. And then I like to just like refresh on a web page till it says like winner.
See. Mm-hmm. And have you always been like this, or is this recent?
I've kind of always been that way.
Okay. So this is interesting. I am like the transitory person between two, because I used to love award shows. And now I'm like, yeah. Just I want to read like the live things as it comes on IMDb, and I just want to look at the outfits, and that's all I get.
To me, there's nothing funnier than celebrities taking themselves that seriously. So for me, the funniest thing that could ever happen in the world is Gwyneth Paltrow walking out in a couture gown to the theme from Shakespeare in Love and planting and saying five adjectives and then announcing category, like bold, rich, thin, white, clean.
These are five
words that describe me.
Yes.
And here are the nominees for best key grip.
Ooh, also Chris
Nothing
Martin.
Funnier.
Oh, Chris
you
Martin.
Love Chris Martin.
So this is it. Okay, so I think Abra likes these gaunt,
wiry,
cheekboned,
but probably smart,
British.
And talented British folks.
Yeah, that's like 80% British. I love
See,
it.
See, mine are all...
Oh, yeah. Who's you?
Human pieces of meat. It's like Justin Timberlake. Love him.
Oh.
Love him.
Piece
In fact,
of meat,
get,
Justin
get,
Timberlake.
Get like weak thinking about him.
Oh.
And I should also say Academy Award nominee Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
Chris Pine.
Oh, yeah. He is very, very hunky.
Any Captain Kirk is gonna get me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like... Captain of the ship.
Shatner?
You want a captain of the ship.
Probably back in the day, Shatner, honestly.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, charisma.
Still is.
And then I love... Hold on.
Look,
you know who I've been really into lately? Andrew Garfield.
Yes, but see, yes.
And that's Henry's number one, too.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Geeky guys.
Did you see I just like saw the clip of him and Colbert kiss, and it was so beautiful.
It really affected me.
It
did something to me.
Me too. I was like, because the second one, like they kissed and then they went in for a second one, and I was like, this is maybe the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was so good. You know who else I love? Channing Tatum. I do. Oh, I love him. Okay. I love him, love him, love him, love him.
Yeah, then, you like you a know, hunk, like a beefy hunk.
I mean, you know what it is? Like, I grew up on Long Island, so like, which I've said 1,000 times on this podcast, everyone's like, we know. But like, I'm never gonna not be attracted to like the guy that comes in the room and is like, I'm here. And is like probably too tan and has muscles and is like has that tattoo around his bicep.
Oh,
always part of me is going to be like, sure. Yeah.
But I do understand that because there is a butcher near my apartment that I go to. And anytime you walk in, he's like, he says, what can I get you, sweetie? And I'm like, meh. Like, it's like, and he's like, anything else for you, sweetie? And I'm like, hey, chicken.
Oh,
and chicken. It really like
any hot guy that works at a pizza store.
Pizza store.
Pizza
store. Honey, I'm going to go to the pizza store.
Can you just get on Google search and see where the closest pizza store is?
Oh my God. You know what I mean. Those guys in their little dirty aprons. Pizza store. Down the block.
I love a pizza store.
Gotta love. Bo, who's your top 5?
Okay, yeah. I don't have a top 5. I think I have like a top 3.
Oh.
Go.
Oh, even okay, so oh God, what's that guy? Billy Crudup.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Billy Crudup in any movie, like even 20th Century Woman, I was like,
oh
yeah, gross.
We just saw him in 20th Century
Woman.
Like,
he looks gross in this, but I would still bang.
There you go.
Stephen Colbert.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on.
He's magic man.
It's just any
magic man.
Anyone with a good jawline. You know, and then like give me an Idris Elba.
Idris is good.
Just give me a square jaw. That's all.
You know who's hot? That Mahershala Ali.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Remy Denton.
Yes. I mean, I just watching Moonlight. I was like, ooh.
He's a hottie, man.
Yes.
Daddy.
He's bae. He's daddy.
He was.
He might be the new daddy.
He was the daddy in Moonlight.
He was the daddy.
He was the daddy figure.
And I have to see that movie still.
That's you haven't seen it. Yeah, you must.
Because you know who I love is Naomi Harris.
She's so good
amazing.
In it.
Ugh.
Love her.
I mean.
What a glamazon, too.
She's a glamazon.
Gorge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the Harry Potter. You seen the James Bonds?
Oh, that's right. She's a Bond girl.
She's Moneypenny.
Oh.
She's the new Moneypenny. Am I not talking to two Bond queens?
I'm not a Bond queen.
Moneypenny's a big figure.
I know who's. Oh, well, and that's a per. Oh, actually, I've completely missed my top guy.
Pierce?
No. Daniel Craig? You probably don't even know him, but you do.
Wait. The geeky geek that's now the new Q. No.
No.
Go on, say who it is.
His name is Tobias Menzies.
What?
Which I know. I know the last name.
That's a name I would make up.
I know. It's almost Tata French.
Tata French is almost Tata French.
But here's the thing. He is this amazing actor. He's in one of the Bond movies. I only saw the first season of Outlander, and he plays two parts. He's the bad guy and he's the husband. He's in The Night Manager. He's in Game of Thrones. He like does everything.
Who's in Game of Thrones? Wait, I'm gonna look
he's
him up.
Edmure Tully in Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Tobias Menzies.
He is he blows my mind.
Oh man, look him up because I want to know.
Use Google search. Don't use
Google. I'm using Google search.
Googlesearch.com/ Tobias.
Okay, see this fits. This fits into the rest of the Aubrey Tabak.
He's good. Looking at how cute.
Square jaw.
Look at that jaw.
Come on, that's huge.
What do you think about the Hiddleston?
Look at his arms. His lean little arms.
You like Thomas Hiddleston?
I don't. Yeah, I know, but I watched The Night Manager, and he was so. Here's the thing: I'm sure he's a lovely person. I don't want to judge his work because God only knows I don't want to be judged ever. But he was so strutty. In The Night Manager. It was like every time he walked down a hallway.
Yeah, he's always like, I'm oozing sex appeal,
yes!
Aren't I?
I've got chop features. Yeah.
But I really do feel bad because if we're in a movie together, I don't want him to be like, I heard you on the culture stuff.
Guaranteed he listens.
Yeah.
I know.
Wait, do you like Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
So that's like a big dividing line. Yeah.
But you're just like not.
No, because what?
I am very attracted to him. But here's the thing. When you watch Sherlock, which is one of my top favorite shows of all time, uh-huh. Martin Freeman is like a very close second to Tobias.
Yeah.
Wait, who's like the hot guy from Game of Thrones?
Oh, the guy who plays Jon Snow.
Yeah, but not really.
Not a Kit Harington.
Kit Harington,
no,
yeah.
Because he, and this, I don't know.
Oh, the guy who plays, the guy who plays male Lannister.
He has like a name like Nikolai.
Yeah, Nikolai. Come on,
Nikolai. Costar Wozo.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Him.
Richard Madden, who's also Game of Thrones, who was one of the
Starks?
Starks.
He was Rob Stark.
Rob Stark.
He is a very handsome boy.
Yes.
And you know who I think is attractive? Is Lily Allen's brother.
Oh, Alfie.
Allen. And there's a couple scenes where he's getting it on, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Alfie Allen.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Elf. No, I totally get that. Which Lily Allen wrote a song called Alfie.
Yes.
Yes. It's just like about him being a stoner.
Yeah. I love
it. Yeah.
You like Lily Allen?
I do like Lily Allen.
You have a connection to British stuff.
I am convinced that's where I'm supposed to be.
Have you been to London?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I love it there. Such a great place. There was a way where like I could like be living my life, I am convinced that's where I want
to
be.
London, I loved because, listen, my only time I went to Europe, we were going from Paris to London, and I loved Paris so much, like was totally in love with it, did not want to leave, and we were like, okay, we're going to London now. Was dreading it, like did not expect to like it at all. And then I got there and it was the best. So beautiful.
The best.
Have you seen a show on the West End?
Yes. Great question. Yes, I have. I was there in March, uh-huh. and then I was there the year before, and I went to Matilda by myself.
Ooh, wow. That was probably great there.
That's probably really good.
Henry and I saw Funny Girl.
Oh.
That's great. I saw Les Mis on the West End.
Ooh. West End.
Matilda was probably great.
It was really great. And then, of course, it was just... because I went by myself, I got a great seat because you're just a little like bugaboo fills in. And
A little bee bug.
And everyone's like, don't come near me.
You like when kids perform in Broadway shows? You're a fan of it?
Here's the thing. I've seen not enough Broadway shows to feel like an expert on that matter.
Me neither.
That show was just so interesting and fun, and there were so many kids.
So many kids. It was great.
I'm trying to think of another Broadway show that I've saw with a lot of kids.
Annie. Did you happen to see School of Rock with our own Michael Hartney?
I want
to
see it so badly.
Yeah. Well, he's not in it anymore.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. But there's lots of really talented kids in it, and they are actually playing those instruments. It's really good.
That's so cool.
That's so great.
It's a wonderful thing. I have to. There's a lot of good stuff coming to Broad.
Oh, you know what?
You know what commercial drives me wild?
What?
Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
Bette Midler.
Oh,
Broadway.
No way.
See it.
No more. No more needs to be said. That's the commercial. It's just those words.
It's just text. Oh.
It's like, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna buy a ticket.
I don't have television. I just have Netflix. And so,
yeah.
I mean.
Do you have your Netflix hooked up to your television?
Yes, I do. Oh, I do.
Because you have the Apple box?
I have an Apple box.
What's it called?
Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Google search Apple box.
Google search Apple box.
Apple box.
Pizza store.
Can I just one quick thing, just to quickly bring it back to make yourself comfy?
Yeah.
The titles. For, just look at the titles alone, and you'll laugh.
Can you name some?
Cup of soup, bagel burger. Just go and give it a read.
Those are my watercolors too. I did the little.
For the cover art.
Yeah, that was like a huge part of the podcast. Was me really being like, I gotta make the art.
I mean,
Will you entertain doing more episodes? Have you thought about revisiting?
You know, I love doing it, and I would. It felt like we did 22. It felt great. Uh-huh. And Taylor Moore was the producer on it. He's just such a
delight. I didn't know Taylor produced that. Oh, that's great.
I mean, he's the best. I mean, I would love to do it more. But I also am like, well, it did end. I think Bagel Burger was the last.
I think Bagel Burger was
Sad Squirties was the first.
Sad Squirties. What was the one?
Sad Squirties.
One of my favorite things ever was the episode with Neil Casey, where at the end of the episode, he plays a little baby who talks like this.
That's Sad Squirties.
That is Sad Squirties. And yes, and then Aubrey plays his mother, and he is in like a little like high wheelchair sort of thing, and he wants to go to the window, and he always wants salami. Always wants pizza. Funniest
oh my God.
Fucking thing.
Well, there's actually a funny story about Neil Casey that pertains to Bowen. I don't know if you know this, but Bowen Yang came out of the closet to Neil Casey at Skidmore College Comedy Festival.
So sophomore, yeah. So
this is another college story.
Another college story
that we'll never forget. This is so good.
So this was sophomore year.
This is so good.
Matt had come out the year prior.
Over the summer, into sophomore year, and it was like, I was like the only person in the like comedy community at NYU that was gay.
Yeah, and so. And then at that point, going into sophomore year, I was like, oh boy, I don't know how much longer I can
keep
this up.
Tough to keep up.
Yeah.
Right.
So then I kept it up until second semester, though, after winter break. And then in February, we all head up to Skidmore College. Uh-huh. Have you done that? Have you done Skidmore?
But
Torco, yeah. Torco does it. And then
They headlined that year, and that's why Casey was there.
And then the week before that, I think the day before we left, I had come out to the people in the improv group. And then swiftly after the people in the sketch group, but then going together was like
word had spread.
And then we went up to Skidmore, and I was just so happy and excited to be out of the closet again.
And so drunk.
And so drunk. And then after the shows happened, we went to this little cabin in the woods where we had this party. And then I just got hammered, truly hammered. Then Neil was talking to some nice person outside on the deck.
So good.
And then I just amble out and I go,
takes focus.
Hey, Neil Casey, guess what? I'm a big old homo.
And Neil Casey goes, that's great.
That's great. And Neil was very nice about it, but was terrified, I'm sure. And then I just went back in. So Neil was one of the first people I came out to.
That's a beautiful memory.
Yeah.
Oh, and what a wonderful, I mean, just the, he's so
just
great.
Just the best. I love
I never met him.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
And
I never will.
You never will.
Gone now.
It's a little story. Oh, we've gone through a lot of college origin stories.
And we never talked about A League of Their Own.
Oh, we never
did. Well, okay, let's just talk quickly about A League of Our Own before we get into I Don't Think So, Honey. What's the best scene of A League of Our Own?
Oh.
Milky White Press. Okay, which I need to explain.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's not the... Honestly, I think it's not the maybe not the best scene, but to me it really affected me. There's a woman on the team who cannot read, and she of course Madonna helps her read.
Yes, of course.
And they're at the back of the bus, and of course Madonna has like a racy book.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and so she's reading, and she's like Milky White Breasts. And she learns to read through this like erotica
Milky
book.
White
I
breasts.
Love that.
Yeah.
I have to say my favorite scene is, has anyone seen my new red hat?
Yeah.
Just like the actress killing it with one line. They're having this like dramatic scene. And then, has anyone seen my new red hat? And what does Gina Davis say? Oh, I'll piss on your hat.
Yes.
By the way, have you seen Thelma and Louise?
No.
It was so nice to have Aubrey.
Oh, no. On that one?
You must see Thelma and Louise.
Okay.
And have you seen Thelma and Louise?
No.
I'll be announcing my new co-host. You guys have to see Thelma and Louise.
I know.
Gina
great.
Davis, Susan Sarandon, pre-insanity. But you must. Oh my God, it's so good.
Does it count that did you ever watch French and Saunders, the sketch show with Jennifer? Don French, two amazing British women.
Not Tana French.
Oh gosh, Tana French.
Huge Jennifer Saunders fan. I would watch it every now and then.
So obviously Ab Fab.
Yes.
And then the other duo that Jennifer Saunders with, so French and Saunders, but they did a lot of movie parodies, and they did Thelma and Louise, and it's super, it's just, even not seeing the movie, it's super funny because like the whole thing is the fact that they're shooting it in England and it's cold.
Yeah.
And it's like in a convertible. Yeah. And they keep referencing the fact that the camera is like hanging on the side. Like it's just a great, I love
Velma and Louise. We had to watch in college.
Stop it.
I was studying screenwriting in college.
Okay,
and
now it makes
sense. They put it on because it was like, this is a great example of a script. And like we watched it, and it was one of the first times that like I was crying in a movie in a real way and thought about it for many hours afterwards, and like didn't think I was gonna get emotional, and like all of a sudden like really was. And Billy Domino, whose birthday it is today,
happy birthday Billy,
yes, his birthday is today, and he looked over at me and was like, "Wow, this is beautiful to see."
Oh,
and Billy, like,
did that effect ruin it? Like, just
well,
let
now
me cry.
I can't think of the movie without thinking of him like laughing at me crying. Aww. So in a way, it's kind of,
oh, he was making fun of you.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think so
I
to
love
some
that.
Extent.
Also, call back. I never got into Brad Pitt.
That's fine.
Well, you know, I got into him when he got a little bit beefier.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
Which fits to a T. Which I would say the closest I got into him was that peanut butter scene in this one where he's the devil, or like dead death. What am I thinking
of?
Oh,
wait. Meet Joe Black.
Yes.
Oh.
Which it's the most like, he's like basically playing like
British boy. No.
Yeah, kind
he's,
of.
He's deaf. He comes back and tries to take Anthony Hopkins.
Mm,
yeah, and he falls in love with Claire Forlani.
Claire Forlani, and oh my God. I was just going to say rule number 107 of culture. If you don't know Claire Forlani, you're not a culturista.
I mean,
must know
also,
Claire Forlani.
Another callback, because last night I Googled it, dated
Google
Keanu
it.
Reeves.
Wow.
Wow. This is beautiful.
Yeah, I watched a video on YouTube that was called Keanu Reeves' Girlfriend, and it just counted it down.
Sandra Bullock, right?
Sandra Bullock, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sandra Bullock, a lot of celebrities she dated. She dated Ryan Gosling before he was like Ryan Gosling.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will say, this is not to throw shade at Sandra, who I think is truly amazing, and I actually think somehow underrated.
Oh, yes.
Okay, what's going on?
I'm scared.
I question her because of the Jesse James thing. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, like, well, how did that happen?
How
but
did that
honestly,
happen?
Honestly, doesn't that happen too often that, like, some amazing, talented, beautiful woman dates some, like,
loser.
Bing bong.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who Kenny Chesney is and what he's all about, but he's another one where I was like, Renee Zellweger, what you doing?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Kenny Chesney. I went to a concert of his one time. And also, Kenny Chesney's probably in my top five.
Oh.
One time I read an article with him when I was like 11 and very susceptible to this, and he said, I actually have 6% body fat. And I was like, hot.
Damn it, man.
Now, here's the thing. Are you into him with his hat off?
No.
Yep, that's the thing.
Hat's got to stay on.
Hat has to stay on. Same thing with probably Tim McGraw.
Ooh, Tim McGraw's a good one with the hat on.
With the hat on, but you take that hat off.
Don't take that hat off. He in The Blind Side. Put the hat back on, Tim.
Never saw The Blind Side.
He was in The Blind Side?
Missed literally nothing.
Oh, my God.
Sandra Bullock, like, my name's Leanne Toohey, and I am stomping my foot.
Tim McGraw's
I am going to raise this child and save this town.
That's her husband in it, right?
Oh, her husband is Tim McGraw.
That's so stupid.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I have to segue to another man who blows my mind because that made me think of Friday Night Lights and that Kyle Chandler.
Oh, Kyle Chandler. Hundo P.
Ugh.
But that's some
good
American flavor in there for
American
yeah,
flavor.
That is. Every once in a while, I love a good old American.
Hot dog and ketchup. No, I just want to say one thing about Jennifer Saunders.
Oh.
She is the only good thing about the Shrek franchise, I think.
Oh,
was she played? Shrek? She played the first. She played Fairy Godmother.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think she's the only good thing about Shrek.
Why?
Shrek's wonderful.
Uh-oh.
Shrek 2, though. Shrek 1, John Lithgow, amazing. Even like, yeah, no, you know what? Shrek, the first movie, Shrek is great.
Cameron D.
So Mike Myers, no?
You gotta love Mike Myers.
You gotta love Mike Myers. But by the second movie, I was like, okay. But then Jennifer Saunders brought that fresh new villain factor. And she sang that cover of Holding Out for a Hero.
Oh, that was her?
That was her.
Oh.
I never saw Shrek 2 because I wanted to keep Shrek 1 pure.
Yeah.
Guys, Shrek 2, great soundtrack.
Ooh.
Dashboard Confessional.
Ooh. Oh, gotta love. Gotta love.
It's so good.
I'm a real dashboard queen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike Myers callback to one of my first ever crushes, Dana Carvey, in
Dana.
Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah. Cutie.
I was in love with Garth, as was I Bill Murray in Ghostbusters. I named my Ken Peter for Peter Venkman because he was like, I was like, he's so hot.
Little Peter Venkman doll.
Peter Venkman Ken doll. Took my Barbies very seriously.
So you think Dana Carvey is the hottest comedian?
Honestly, Dana Carvey in Wayne's World. So I'm being very clear. It is Garth. Yeah. Yes.
I'll tell you, I love those Lonely Island boys. Sexually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
With their little white sunglasses being douches. Love them.
So Long Island. Okay, let's move on to I Don't Think So,
we
Honey.
We gotta do I Don't Think So, Honey. Now,
oh my gosh.
You've heard the show. You know I Don't Think So, Honey. Sometimes we don't always prepare, but I do have one prepared. Do you have one prepared?
No, I don't. Do you want to go first?
All right. Do you have one that you're going to do?
No.
Okay. Well, it's okay because that's commonplace.
Okay.
All right. I do have one that I'm going to do, and I'm excited about it, and I'm going to get my stance. I Don't Think So, Honey, for everyone out there listening, is our chance to take 1 minute on the clock to rail on something in culture that's really grinding our gears and getting it. We get into all the ticks and tacks of culture. And you listen all the doo-dah day. So here we go.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Matt Rogers. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Walt Disney World, the Hall of Presidents ride specifically. Y'all are going through a refurbishment right now, so you can put Donald Trump, the animatronic, in there. I say, I Don't Think So, Honey. Bitch, I am not about these little children who come to Magic Kingdom for enjoyment having to sit into the Hall of Presidents and listen to that motherfucker. I say it's not okay. You want to put him in there to preserve the legacy of the ride? That's fine. He better not speak. What are you going to say? Grab him by the pussy in front of little Sally Susan? She's there to go on Splash Mountain. She's waiting for her fast pass time. She goes over by Hall of Presidents, walks on in, because you know it never has a line because the ride sucks. Why don't you shut it down? She goes in there. She's got to listen to Donald Trump? I don't think so, honey. Walt Disney World, you need to take a stance. If you can't serve alcohol in the Magic Kingdom, you better not be serving up Donald Trump's bullshit. I have to say, I'm disappointed. I'm enraged. I have fury. And I will boycott the Hall of Presidents. I won't boycott Magic Kingdom because what am I, nuts? I have to go. But, like, I don't think so, honey. Hall of Presidents.
Oh, and that's 1 minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I purposely did not prep, and now my heart is beating so fast.
That's a good one.
I had to get that out.
Good.
And also, you guys, please sign my change.org petition that I started yesterday called No Donald Trump Animatronic Speech in the Hall of Presidents.
I will.
I really started
it. I don't know
it.
If that's up to the government necessarily.
It's up to Walt Disney World. I signed it and it's going to Walt Disney World Company.
It's not We the People.
I think that, you know, because classically George W. Bush had a speech, Bill Clinton had a speech, Barack Obama had a speech, and all the incumbent presidents go in there and they record a speech specifically for the ride. No Donald Trump speech.
Can I just point out one fatal flaw in that? I don't think so, honey. That fatal flaw, I guess inaccuracy. Hall of Presidents doesn't have Fast Pass.
Well, I wasn't saying that. I was saying they're waiting for their Fast Pass to come in on Splash Mountain. If you listen back to I Don't Think So, Honey, that'll be clear.
Okay, honey, let's roll the tape at home when you listen to this.
Gosh, this just also because I now wish we had like another hour to talk about how like I'm a huge Walt Disney World fan.
No, Aubrey. Oh my God, you have to come back.
I know because I watched the vids. I mean, I watched your videos, and they were the best thing in the world. And the whole time I was like, I wish I was there. I wish I was invited.
We have to do another.
Why don't we do another trip?
I don't care when, I will be there.
People have been coming out of the woodwork with that saying they're Disney fans. Oh. And I'm like, where were you before?
No, not in the woodwork at all. Just we hadn't had a chance to talk about it.
You're right. Yes. You're right. Honestly, we must go. And also, how do you feel about Universal Studios?
No.
I don't think so, honey. I don't think so.
I would go for Harry Potter World, but I don't want to go.
You don't want to ride the movies? You don't want to ride the movies? That's insane. Who doesn't want to ride the movies? They come to life.
I want to spend all my time in Disney World.
Well.
Leave me over there.
Wow.
Listen, I'll consider it.
I'm just saying
the transportation over there is a full mess. And also, they're all about the bottom line these days.
Who?
Disney. It's a fucking mall.
Oh, no.
It's a mall.
As if it weren't before.
Yeah, well, I will say, I don't know. This is a whole other episode.
Okay.
You haven't been to Universal Studios.
I've never been.
Recently.
Wait. Then, Albert, you gotta go.
Gotta go. When we go, we'll take you.
Matt
will
take
you. And I will change your world. Because when we went, we did Disney, and then last minute game time decision decided we were going to Universal. We did both parks in one day because
that's
I was like, come on, boys, let's go. We're going on the next ride.
I will tell you the biggest gag in the entire trip.
Biggest gag.
Was first, I'm equal ranking. First was Gringotts. Also first was the Mummy the Ride.
Mummy the Ride.
You're going up.
Brendan Fraser realness.
Brendan Fraser realness. You're going up just, you know, like an incline slowly, like as you would normally expect in a coaster.
This is the moment of my life.
Moment of my life. But then it's a fake out. You speed up into the mouth of Imhotep and you basically
fly out of your chair.
You fly out of your chair and then all of a sudden you see Imhotep's giant face and then you fly into
the mouth. And he says, your souls are mine! Come on.
Come on. Oh, I gagged. I gagged for filth. Okay, girls.
It's Bo and Yang's. I don't think so, honey.
I don't know about this one.
He never prepares. Ugh. And it's always still great because he has that Danger Box improv background.
Right. Which you would have experienced
had I got it. I will also say, Abra, if this is bad, it's because you were Bowen's 101 teacher.
Yes.
And I have to thank Ben Rogers for my I don't think so, honey.
Wow, yes. We'll
Wherever
see.
You are, haven't spoken to you in 7 years.
Stakes are high for both me and Abra on this. Okay, let's
here we go. And Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, NBC News and MSNBC and all NBC affiliates, honey. I Don't Think So Honey for giving Megyn Kelly a full hour slot on the Today Show. I just learned about this. Matt just told me about this before we were recording. I Don't Think So Honey, NBC. Do not give a platform to this woman who is an opportunist feminist. Honey, she did. She spoke out against women taking maternity leave. She spoke out against, women and feminist issues until it affected her, until she had a baby, honey. And then she started to speak out against it, honey. I Don't Think So Honey, Megyn Kelly. I Don't Think So Honey, giving Greta Van Susteren a new show. No siree, Bob. I Don't Think So Honey, Greta Van Susteren. I don't want to hear her takes on shit. She's not a good journalist. You know what, Greta? I will give Greta this credit. She does ask some good questions. She grills her guests. But give me Rachel Maddow all day, all night, 24 hours a day. But I Don't Think So Honey, Greta and what's her face? Megyn Kelly. No, honey. No, I don't want to see that. That was one of my worst. I don't think
that was
so.
No, it was good.
I loved it.
Wow. It was good. You got a little off game because it was about Megyn Kelly, and then all of a sudden it became about Greta. And then it became about, it was NBC News. It was a little unfocused, but you know what? Your passion was amazing.
Yes, I had. Yeah, thank you.
It was incredible.
It was great.
And it's true.
Thank you very much.
It's true. Megyn Kelly is all up in that NBC Today Show gig.
I mean, look, oh God,
she's getting a whole hour.
Look, yeah. And I'm sure Megyn Kelly trotted on down the mall today for the March for Life or whatever the fuck that
God,
was.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, not to get too political.
No.
But
we're anti-life here on Los Cristas.
We're pro-death.
Protest.
You have to just be transparent about it.
Absolutely. All right, Abra.
It's time.
Oh my God, I just thought of one, and it's now compared to what you talked about. It's not gonna. It's gonna seem very shallow, but here goes.
No,
the shallower the better.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Abra Tayback. I Don't Think So Honey starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey. Spotify, you are a fucking joke. Oh! I hate you so much. You are so expensive. Also, here's the reason I don't like you. Your playlists are terrible. You have the same 10 pop songs. I need new pop. Yes. I need fresh pop. And you play the same songs. You say this one's teen pop. You say this one's top 40. No. It's the same Shawn Mendes song over and over and over. I Don't Think So Honey. Check out Pandora and how they have some sort of algorithm going on that gets me tons of sweet, sweet jams. Also, I love your 80s playlist. Who knew there was so much great pop music?
Oh.
It is so good, although your commercials are a terrible. Spotify, you also wouldn't give me a student discount. I'm currently enrolled in Sketch 201 at the UCB Theater. You would not give it to me. I contacted Sheer ID to get my discount. You refused me, saying it wasn't a Title IX accredited university.
No.
And so I could not get that discount. I Don't Think So, honey. Spotify, you are overrated, expensive, and you do not have the best music.
That's 1 minute.
Oh my God.
You need to take that up with Kevin Hines.
I literally have.
I can't believe.
Oh my God.
I love Spotify, but you were right. You just revealed so much. I'm in like a relationship that's not good with Spotify.
The playlists suck.
The playlists really do suck. And I have had Spotify. I'll have it for a month. I'll turn it off. I tried Apple Music, and the problem with Apple Music is that it just like
it doesn't work.
Yeah, and then when you have your own music on, like on your iPhone, just like weird stuff happens, and their playlists aren't that good. And Pandora, honestly, it surprises me, and I love it.
Right,
but
it's not on demand.
Yeah, and the sound quality is not as good. It's like weirdly like sounds a little tinny. I love my tunes.
Well, here's the deal. I feel like Spotify works for me because I like to get obsessed with one song and listen to it 50 times in a row.
Right.
So with the Pandora, I don't think I could do that because I would want to keep listening to the song again and again. That's just like how I am. And then it would shake it up. And
well, that's the thing I'm trying to understand about my musical taste is because I feel like I do the same thing. And it's like, should I just buy that song?
Right.
And then when I want to like listen and bop around and do a little Pandora when I'm usually like in my apartment. But when it comes down to it, I listen to probably the same one song, two songs over and over again for a period of time. And I'm like, might as well just buy it.
Right.
I have an instinct to ask you a question.
Yes.
Brittany or Christina?
Brittany.
Thank you. Thank you, Abra.
Wow.
That's a little plug for Matt, a show that Matt and I are doing that's coming up.
Oh, we're about to do a show. Matteo Lane and Christy Cello are hosting a show at Union Hall called Battle of the Divas, Brittany versus Christina. And Bowen is repping Britney Spears and I'm repping Christina Aguilera.
Oh my gosh, I'm there.
Going to be a battle for the ages. I'm going to see. I believe it is February 22nd at Union
Hall. February 22nd Union Hall. That's a little plug for the kids.
Yes.
This has been so fun.
My
God. What a joy.
I mean, I had high expectations, but also this exceeded all of them. Abra, we love you so much.
I fucking love Abra. I'm genuinely sad we have to stop.
Well, you
this
know, we must
so
have you back.
Much fun.
We'll have you back, Disney World.
And you can tell us all about your gags and your gags and don'ts.
Oh.
And who knows if by the next time Abra comes on, well, maybe the three of us have gone to Disney World
that's
together.
That's what I wanted you to say, and then you said, come on the podcast. I was like, yes, but I also want you to invite me to come.
Absolutely.
To you.
But here's what I'm saying. Recently, we were discussing about maybe going in March, and we're not going to go in March, and I'm happy about that, because why would we go in March when Avatar Land is coming to Animal Kingdom in the summer?
But is
why the fuck would I spend my money now and miss out on the Flight of Passage.
Okay.
And Avatar Land, where you can ride a beast.
And we're gonna corral a bunch of other comedians.
Also, segue, never saw Avatar.
Ooh. That's you didn't miss much.
Probably fine.
Yeah.
The best part of Avatar is Leona Lewis' song. I see you. Which no one it didn't become a hit.
It didn't become it. It tried to be the next My
Why
Heart Will Go On.
I don't know. I think people just don't like Leona.
Honestly, Bleeding Love might be one of the best
Bleeding
pop
Love
songs
is so good.
Ever.
Keep bleeding love. Watch, now that's going to be the only song I listen to for weeks.
Yes.
Thank you, Spotify.
I lived and gagged for Bleeding Love.
So good.
When nothing's greater than the rest that comes with your embrace. Ooh. Oh, who doesn't love it?
We got to own up to the fact that America should love Leona Lewis.
Another amazing Brit.
Yep. Oh, amazing Brits. What was our proposed title of the episode? That right?
That true. Right?
That true.
Girl, that true.
That true. Leona Lewis?
That true. True. You know what? And you know what's true? Abra, Tayback. Oh, amazing.
Amazing.
This is
I
so
love
fun.
You both so much.
We adore you. And honestly, check Abra out everywhere. Grandma's Ashes, Ask Cat 3000. Everywhere, bitch.
Everywhere, bitch. We love you so much.
Thank you, Forever Dog. This is Lost Culturistas Podcast. You're the best. That's Bone Yang.
That's Matt Rogers.
And bye.
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 Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.